Hey guys, welcome to another episode of I'm Not Famous here on Project Nerd. We're in Colorado Springs at the Iron Lion, which this is my first time in here. Probably shouldn't admit that on video, but it is awesome. Like, I love the setup and everything. But before I get just start rambling, because I'm the one actually rambling now, I'm here with David Peruzzi, and then of course, Carrie Vinay.
Vinay. Because I've got famous.
You got
after
famous.
The first two
did you
two
get
seasons.
Famous in Japan?
I did.
Okay, awesome. So we're here with David or Dave?
Dave's really good.
Dave, okay. Awesome.
Well, he has his author name, David.
Oh, okay.
But
well, then we should.
We know him
Dave.
Pretty well.
We know him pretty well. All right. Well, introduce the book before we get lost on some other thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, hi, I'm Dave Peruzzi. I'm the author of the book Archibald Hyman and the Bounty of the Peddler of Autumn. Yay. And it's been taking about a year to write the book. It flowed pretty good. It was like one of the kind of a weird scenario when I wrote it. It was like from start to finish. Like there was no middle piece. This thing kind of flew really, really well. The content of the book, the plot, everything kind of really came into a core component where I was able to actually, if I stopped for a little bit to go do something, or you know, I could come right back, and it just led right back off, you know, again, right where I wanted it to be. Had no problems with any of the character development, As the book progressed, I started realizing it went from like, you know, like 4 or 5 pages to all of a sudden like 30, 40. And you're like, wow, I got something here that's kind of worth mentioning. And there she is.
Well, so you say a year. Like, is that from writing or is that from concept and everything? Or is this something you've had in your head for
a
while?
A little bit of both. I mean, the book started off one day. I'm retired from the Air Force, 20-something years. Awesome. God bless America. But in between jobs and everything else, I shoot bow a lot. Like, I'm out in the backyard shooting my bow, and one day I missed a target. It was a terrible shot. You know, I shouldn't be teaching how to shoot. But I shot, the arrow sailed, and I was sitting there walking to go retrieve the arrow, and then all of a sudden I saw the way the light was simulating through the trees, and it created a face that was on the target. And that's when this character, Stefano, was born, and that's when I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he's a like a phantom.
I thought you were gonna say you missed a target and shot some guy named Stefano.
Exactly.
Apology, I used his name for the book.
Yeah, part of the settlement offer
he
was.
Still has
he's in the ass of the book.
He still has a lip. Cool, awesome. Yeah, but shooting bow and everything. So it sounds like some really life inspirations kind of played into it.
I've been to poet quite a bit. You always have those ideas in the back of your head that materialize, and then you forget about it because you get busy or something else. And then, remove some of the negative indicators. You know, there's so many people out there to tell you, like, you pitch an idea to them, and they're like, that's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. And you're like, like, it's just an idea, bro. It's like, so, you know, and then, as it progresses and moves on, you kind of like, you know, you're like, no, this does sound like it's going to make sense. This does sound like it's going to become something. And everything else, the main guy in here, Archibald himself, he's named after my grandfather. A lot of the character references, a lot of the buildings, I've done a lot of research for the book takes place in a place called Big Timber, Montana. I've already reached out to them and I sent a book to them. Mm-hmm. So just thanking them for inspiration. I just wanted to find that little quiet town somewhere where, it had the perfect setting for it. And Big Timber, like, after doing the research, jumped right out at me.
So is it modern time?
Yes, it is. It's modern in 2014.
City. Okay.
That's where it kind of takes place. And then and the main character, Archibald, he's a demigod. But he's kind of...
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. But he's kind of like a loser demigod. Okay. Like, he's kind of just thrown here, and the gods don't like him. Nobody likes him. He's kind of an outcast. And a lot of the character is that I think that's how people are nowadays. A lot of people feel like they've been a little bit of left out of the group a little bit. You know, I think the world is so vexing now where it's stereotyped. They want you to be a certain way, and a lot of people are kind of like, this isn't me. I don't want to conform to this, you know. So, and I think he can relate to a lot of characters. He's very quiet. My son, for an example, he's an introvert. My wife is, me and my daughter are extroverts, so we're positive people. So so
that,
you know,
one I really relate to, not the dad.
So, and I just wanted to make sure, like, this guy, he can the main guy, like, how he can, you know, actually coexist in this community that he's actually protecting, and everybody hates him. You know, he's just out in the woods, just
He's not the everybody's building statues of him Superman no. type everything.
No,
like that, exactly.
Everybody thinks he's like a loser, like a bum. He's just out in the woods, just probably growing weed or whatever the hell he's doing. Yeah. He doesn't grow weed.
Montana's still not weed.
Yeah, no. Montana's still a beautiful place.
Didn't find any inspiration out there in Montana with that. I'm going to backtrack us a little bit. Something else you said that I thought was really interesting. You're talking about pitching the ideas and people turn it down, and you still get the full book out there. I think it's huge, and it's funny because we got baseball going on in the background. I know this isn't much of a baseball podcast, but I always love comparing it to baseball because your Hall of Famers, what, they only succeed 30% of the time at the plate,
that's true,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's talk about, especially with Project Nerd, we have so many, for those guys that are behind the scenes in here, mm-hmm. like what we're going to, oh, we're going to do this. And then it just the idea never comes to be, and it's because we have so many ideas. And I think it's important for people to remember, you just keep pursuing all those ideas. And if one fails, you can move on to the next or build something else out of it. Or even grow from that. If, oh, that wasn't a strong enough idea, well, let me make it even better or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and that's a great point because, like, you don't realize it until you create something that there's a lot of haters out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they're just everywhere. You're like, it's like, you know. And I think having a strong support between, like, you know, like Bernie and my wife, Michelle, and my daughter and my son, they're the ones who wanted me to keep going. Even my brother, he was, you know, he's like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Keep going with it. And then you run into your those guys, you know, right. Those people are like, wow, this is, no, it's been done.
And they
before.
Get loud on the internet too.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they like to be loud about it.
Yeah, and I think the hardest part is to shield it because there are times when you start writing that you want to quit. You're like, man, this is a waste of my time. This is nobody's gonna. Be interested in this, and then I guess the hardest part is to actually, like, you know, kind of shield yourself there. You gotta somehow, maybe the military did that, you know, kind of move on and persevere, you know, let's just get past this and block out the negative people, and, you know, and that's the whole thing. I'm drifted to positive people, you know. If you're around negative people all the time, I'm like, oh God, you're just a kick in the nuts every damn day talking to you. You know, it's like you just want to move on and just be like, dude, you know, oh man, go find a tree or something and end it. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right. Just go stand behind my archery target. Catch those arrows if they miss.
I want to ask a question on this because I think it's important for me, especially with this format. You know, nowadays we're seeing so many visuals. And I think this kind of art, you know, written art, we're not seeing as much. You know, you see the graphic novels, you see animation. You chose this format. Why this format? Why write this kind of novel? Or do you call it a novel? Or how do you describe this book when you identify it to people?
As far as just like getting on the technical side to the handwritten side of it, it was more like what I was familiar with. Okay. I mean, I'm not a tech savvy guy. It's just this was the most simplest way for me to get the information out as best as I could. We started, like, my daughter started, like, compositing the artwork of the characters and stuff like this, and it was terrible. It was awful. No offense, Mikhail, I love you, Dad. I was just like, yeah, this is going to work.
Figures.
Don't cut that. Controversy.
So I just kind of like pulled back on it. She's like, going to be so mad at me right now. But, and I was like, you know, it was like, oh, this is, he looks deformed here. I don't know what's going on. So.
It kind of goes back to that point, too. So my daughter is still very young, and she loves to draw, and there's so many times where she looks at it, and she's like, it's not good. I'm like, you know, the people that are out there are the ones who just have kept doing it.
Just keep doing it.
The more and more you draw it, the better it's going to get, right? So
yeah.
So do you have illustrations that go along with it?
No.
Or is it straight?
No, there's no illustration in here at all. I wanted to kind of keep that down to a minimum. One of the things I wanted to make sure. That's not me. That's just like it came with the book.
You know, I was going to ask if it was your daughter. That's how you made it. Put it on the cover.
No, an Author House, which is my publisher, and they've done a great job so far. Promoting and being supportive. They'll send you a bunch of
covers pictures to choose from.
Yeah, and you know, pick this one, and this one kind of fell into place. One of the main things with the book too is like I wanted to. The violence in it is down to a very low minimum. There's no swearing words in it at all, neither. I think especially kids today, if we're targeting an age group or something like that, it's so simple for them to see this in the world right now. I think this would be something more enjoyable, more pure. You get on the internet for anything now, it's like there's never a happy story. It's like you turn on CNN, you're like, oh my God, it's like, you know, not one good thing. You know, there's no one doing anything good in the world nowadays. And I think this is why I wanted to kind of keep this really to a... just something simple, something like, let's bring back the good old times where people could put a pie on the windowsill and we're all happy. You know,
you talk about many themes, right? You say initially, right, this character isn't liked.
No.
So it's more of like an introverted character.
Yep.
And so he's not liked. Now you're talking about a very positive message along with it, with minimal violence. So tell us a little bit about the book itself. I think we talked a little bit about the characters, but in this particular, because I think you said you want to do three of these, right? You want to do a trilogy.
Yep, yep.
In this particular chapter one, or version one of this story, what are you setting up with the characters?
You asked the trilogy question before we started recording?
What? I did. Because I want to...
Yeah, I'm going home. This whole day is rude.
No, because I'm that person that... If you're going to write three of them, then I'll wait for the third one. I'm now in that binge culture.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
Because I want to wait.
Yeah.
Because we already saw that with Game of Thrones, where you had to wait and now it didn't exist, right?
Yep.
With the books. So now I'm a little... But with this, right, you talk about the character, I believe, that you're the main character is modeled after your grandfather.
The name was, you know,
name was.
Yeah.
So that was really it. It wasn't like the character itself was, you kind of took some of the characteristics of him and brought it into, or just the naming?
A little bit of the name, a little bit of the characteristics, a little bit of maybe even myself, a little self-reflecting in you know, because he is a bigger guy, he's a stout guy. You know, I think that kind of fell into my mode. You know, and it's kind of hard finding, like, you know, it's like, do you want to typically stereotype your character like everybody has,
right?
Like this rock chiseled dude. He's he's a big dude. From time to time he could be a little doughy.
Him physical characteristics, but also this mental struggle too. Of, you know, he's physical. He's got some of the stuff you're talking about, but mentally he's dealing with not being liked.
Yeah.
Right? So there's, you know, this part of it, and you talk about some of the storylines in modern era, modern life. With this story, how does that character develop throughout this book?
Yeah, well, the main thing about him is, like, he is a demigod, like I mentioned, and he's on Earth, and he's got brothers and sisters. They're out there. There's a kin, and right from the get go is like the way I portrayed this was like Zeus is very picky about who can have sex with the females or the males, you know. And his father is kind of like a god servant. Like, he's up there. I guess he cleans the place when they're done having their little banquet. So he wasn't supposed to do what he did. And, you know, and he was born. And they're like he's like a bozo compared to, like, other. Like, he's not like Hercules. He's just
so
kind
of...
So
is that why he's not liked? Just because he really isn't supposed to exist in a way?
Yes. In a way, he's... And it's kind of bred in him a little bit. Like, he kind of realizes he's a little on the outside looking in. And but he doesn't really realize why he's here, what he's doing in this. His buddy Stefano, who's his master of arms, he's going to be teaching him, and he still doesn't get it. He's like, you know, why are we doing this? But the main thing with him is like, I wanted him to be a tracker.
Okay.
And you know, and we mentioned earlier, like we were talking about conspiracy theories. I listened to a lot of YouTube of David Paulides. I like him. He's 411. I'm going to give a shout out to him. and he talks about missing people. And I wanted, like, he was an inspiration too for this too, because he's a tracker. That's his whole purpose. He what he does is he goes in the woods and he's trying to. He's like kind of honed with the woods or to the forest, and he can actually like see things other people can't see. He's very, very good at this.
This is the Stefano character?
No, this is Archibald.
Archibald,
yeah.
Okay.
Stefano's is, you know, Stefano's just a...
He's like the one that's kind of carrying all this stuff on his backpack, just helping him through the...
No, he's just a face. That's
okay.
All he is. He's just an image.
So he's not an actual...
Nope. No, he's... Yeah, he's...
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
You think he's like his caddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going back to Monty Python, and he's just...
he's doing the coconut stuff.
Give him a 7-iron. Yeah. That's funny. That's a good point. And then, the problem with these are, is like, we have these characters called Dark Breakers, and they're the villains, they're the, you know, antagonists in the book, and because their power struggles and everything else, they're divided by seasons.
Okay.
So right now the main one in this one is the peddler, and he controls the fall seasons. So you know, like by the end of December 21st is when the next one comes in, and he has to vacate the area.
Okay.
But what they're looking for is they're looking for the entrance to where the Titans are held. If anybody studies Greek mythology, it's in a place called Tartarus, and that's where they're all held. And they've narrowed it down where the entrance is in Big Timber.
Nice.
And Archibald just happened to be there, maybe on a little bit of luck and a little bit of like, yeah, maybe you should be here. And they're coming.
So a little bit of fate mixed in with
absolutely.
Dumb luck in a way. Like,
yep.
You just happen to be here, but it's also going to be kind of fate as things kind of fade in.
Yeah, and he's very protected to the town as the book transpires and stuff. And when problems emerge in the book, he gets very emotional about it. Like when there's a murder or something like that, he feels like he let these people down, even though they think he's just garbage. So, you know, but he's very tied with them, and it's a learning process because he's relatively very young as a demigod. He just doesn't know. His brothers and sisters are much older and they're more powerful. So he's pitted against these characters, these Darkbreakers, and he's completely outmatched. So he has to use his more of a smoke and mirrors kind of approach to fight. So that's what he does. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're like, can I just read it? Can we just like get like the author?
See, I still read, but he's all like, you put this with just words on paper? What is this? And I'm like, oh, I'll put it on next on my list.
I'm waiting for the graphic novel.
I need the Amazon series of it. Like,
I feel like I'm going like the Idiot's Guide to this book, right. Like Cliff Notes. Like, I need to understand all the character development before I go in and read it.
So, speaking of Amazon, everything, where can people get this book?
Yeah, Amazon was one of them. Okay. It's on there. I have my website, or my wife made a Facebook page, and Author House is my publisher, and it's also on there too. I've seen it on Walmart. I mean, I hope you know. It's like more like Barnes and Noble's. It's been on their website too.
Nice.
So yeah. There's multiple places. I looked online one day. It was like overseas. I was like in a state of shock. I was like, I was like, this is cool. You know,
where was it at overseas?
I don't know. I think it was in pounds or so. Oh, okay. So anyway, I think in the Europe area, I guess. You know, so so I guess we're it'll be pretty cool with that. Maybe they'll bring it's the euro. Maybe they'll bring the mark back. You know, so we don't know. But,
yeah. Because we create a lot, and it's great. Like when you get that first sight of seeing your creation out there, what was that feeling, or do you even have that memory of like, I saw somebody with my book, or somebody reached out about my book that first time?
Yeah, you know, it was real fun because, like, you know, as you know, once Author House, we were in contract with them, and they show you the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is actually a really nice looking cover and everything else. And then it got real. Like one day, like I was telling my brother about it. He's like, dude, check online. He's like, you know, your cover's out there, and he's like, this is you. And then my parents thought like we won the lotto. They were they're like you're so cool and everything else. I'm like, yeah, you know, so. And as it went on, one of my coworkers, this gentleman named Jose, he was the first one to buy it, and he brought it in, and he was like, check it out. And I was like, and he's like, would you autograph it? And it was like my first autograph ever. I'm like, cool. So, and it, you know, and been very supportive, and you know, and it was a really great feeling. I was very
I don't know. That cancels everybody who probably said this isn't a great idea, right? Like,
yeah,
it's the first person. It doesn't even need a whole group of people can just delete those 30 or so people that said, nah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, you know, it's just like just so many people were like in a state of shock that you can write. And like, again, I think it's back to the whole technology thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, how'd you write this? Well, they're like, yeah, it's pencils are still.
I was hoping a typewriter.
Yeah. That's what you said earlier.
We're talking about like a whiteout and typewriter. The one question that I really have, because you talk about this, you know, pretty impressive professional career. You were in the military. Right now you're in a tech industry, and now you're an author. Like, how do you, is there a ranking system as far as like what you feel more professional accomplishment?
There is a ranking system in the military, yes.
Well, yes. But it's like, you know, that like you talk about, you know, how you wrote this and how there was detractors to it and that, but does this kind of rank as one of your big professional achievements, or do you even think of it as a professional thing, or is this more personal? Like, you just personally wanted to do this and not necessarily make a large amount of money off. Obviously, you want to make money, but if one person, like you mentioned, picks it up, reads it, and gets what you wanted out of it, is it more personal or more of a professional accomplishment in your opinion?
I mean, that's a great question, but the ranking in my house is like, I've lost control a long time ago. My wife literally has control, but no, honestly, I never even thought about this being like a moneymaker. You know, I just really thought this was a decent story, and like, my father's one of my toughest critics, and he's actually read the book, and he was like, yeah, this isn't too bad. This is actually pretty good. And like, you know, getting that from him, I was like, whoa.
That sounds like old.
Yeah, and it makes you feel.
You get that response from your dad. That's not bad. Wait, dad said that's not bad.
Yeah, he didn't say it was good. He says not that bad.
That's good.
I'll take it.
That's good from dad. Right?
Yeah, you know, and but like, you know, as far as this started off in the beginning as a hobby. This was, right. and then like once you get employed, it's like, you know. It is factored into my life. I'm still working on the second book right now, and it's coming along really well. It's had a little bit more of a hiccup on certain things, because this was very easy. This was from start to finish, right. Where the other one was more of yeah, it's been taking some time. It's like, you know, like what we were talking about earlier with the, you know, the sitting here staring at a blank page. I'm like, man, what am I going to write?
When you're just writing a middle, too. Like, if it's a trilogy, that's got to be.
Yeah. And that's hard because it's like you got to finish it. And then you hit these spots and like, I'm like, you know, am I just, you know, repeating or regurgitating the same conversations, the same, you know, because actually for Archibald, he's not really a talker. He's actually more like he just sits there and, you know, and he's just not a conversational guy.
Right.
Where these Darkbreakers are talking to him and he's just like, okay, you know, and so, but it's nature. He gets drawn out, he gets mad, you know, he doesn't like being called a kid or like a boy or something like this because he's so young and it does aggravate him. And that's where he shows, like, he starts to lose his temper a little bit.
Right.
Where his maturity level is not where, you know, me. No. But, you know, so.
Awesome. So one more time. This is definitely a fantasy novel, but the title is like, it's the requirement of a fantasy novel is your title has to be at least 3 lines long. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's
no. It's Archibald Hyman and the Bounty of the Peddler of Autumn.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. And Dave Peruzzi, but David Peruzzi is how you find him online. Where can everybody find you online, actually?
Michelle, do you want to get in here and out here? I want to bring my wife in here real quick. Can I do this?
Like, yeah, of course. Go.
There we are. This is my beautiful wife, Michelle. So,
thank you.
And she's,
we'll put in an applause track.
So she's been like my person who's got me going on all the websites and stuff.
Right.
So
well, where can we find him online?
So he has a blog, and then he also is on Facebook. It's the title of the book, so they can find it under the title of the book.
Perfect. And we'll put the link obviously in the post.
Right. And then of course you can find all the, you know, Walmart, Barnes and Noble's, the company's website. You know.
Awesome.
So there's several different areas. If you Google it pops up. So
perfect. Well, thank
that's
you.
Easiest way. So.
Thank you so much. I didn't even know you were going to be
social
in front of
media coordinator.
Right.
Manager.
Yeah.
She's like, you have no idea how much you owe me. Awesome. Well, Dave, it was great. We appreciate it.
All right.
I'm looking
forward
to reading it myself, and of course the books that come in the future. For everybody else, of course, this is I'm Not Famous signing off from the Iron Lion.
Like and subscribe.
Thank you,
and subscribe.
Carrie. Always remember, hit those buttons if you don't already do it. What is that?
It's where the
buttons are below. Anyways, we need to cut after all this. All right, we'll catch you next time.
All right.